Looking forward to that day, aren't you? Looking forward to the day that He returns. Get to see Him face to face. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Go ahead and apologize in advance, as I did yesterday at our teacher's clinic, that I've got the, I would call it the crud. If I start coughing or something, I don't want to have to apologize every time I cough. So I'm sorry if it's a little irritating to you, but if I'm not quite my peppy self, though I think I've done pretty good so far, I'm peppy because I'm not going to get a pie in my face. But anyway, that's all I'll say about it. Familiar passage this morning to most of us. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel and the den of lions. Daniel chapter 6, and I was going to read part of it, and we're already, for time's sake, I'm going to kind of, let's start in verse 1, we'll work our way through it, and then, of course, get into the message. Verse 1, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred, notice this, preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, look at this, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. Going to appeal to King Darius's pride. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and counselors and captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And wherefore, King Darius, pride, signed the writing and the decree. So basically saying, King Darius, we're going to make you god for 30 days. Now when Daniel, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Didn't change a thing. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law and the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased, what? With himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Amen. Boy, what a testimony Daniel had already been. Amen. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with a signet, and with a signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel, so nobody could come in and take him out. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lion's mouth, plural, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed. Listen, that's the text this morning. Because he what? Believed in his God. Why was there no manner of hurt found in him? Because he trusted in God. Amen. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces. I love the Bible. Yeah. And ever they came to the bottom of the den. In other words, they didn't even make it to the bottom of the den, and they were done. Lion's food. But Daniel did not bend, did he? Daniel did not give in. Daniel went as before time and prayed. Amen. What a testimony Daniel is for us. And I think this is very applicable to what we're doing today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Help us as we explain and draw application from the Scripture. Lord, help us to be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith in God is the best protection. Faith in God is the best protection. Why was Daniel delivered? Because he believed in God. He believed his God. Daniel was carried into captivity by the Babylonians in 606 B.C. And there was three deportations. And because of lack of time, I'm not going to go into the history. But was carried from Jerusalem into Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. At the time he was carried away, he was 16, 17, 18 years of age. And you can go back to Daniel chapter 1, and you can find there where Daniel said that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. So they took, King Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem, defeated Jerusalem, and then took the best of the young men, brought them back to Babylon, and basically put them in Babylon University to train them. To teach them, to educate them in the Babylonian ways and the Babylonian gods. And so Daniel, when he got into Babylon University, along with many other, probably thousands of other young men, purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat. In other words, he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the meat that the king had offered up to strange idols. Because that would break the ceremonial law, the law given by Moses. And so he did not want to break that law, so he purposed that he would not do so. I love that word purposed in his heart. It means that he decided himself beforehand. Before there was ever a decision to be made, he had already made the decision. Before he ever went to the supper table, listen, before he ever went to the supper table, he made a decision to do right. He made a decision to follow the Lord. Young people, I just want to encourage you, purpose in your heart now. Don't wait till you get to school on Tuesday to purpose in your heart, oh, I'm not going to do anything. Purpose now, beforehand, determine to do what's right. Make the choice. You see, these young men, Daniel and his three friends, committed political suicide when they decided not to eat of the king's meat. They were unpopular with their friends. All the other Jewish boys were all eating the king's meat. No doubt unpopular with their friends. No doubt, the friends were saying, hey, don't rock the boat, just eat the meat. Mom and daddy aren't around. We're not in Canaan anymore. We're in Babylon, we're not in Jerusalem. Maybe they made the appeal that, hey, this is breaking the ceremonial law, but this is not immoral. We're breaking just one of God's commandments, but this is not immoral. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. David purposed in his heart, made the choice not to break God's law. And no matter how big a law we may think it is or how small a law it may have been, he purposed not to break God's law, to do what's right. That was when he was 18. That was when he was 16, 17, 18 years of age. He stood firm in the faith. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is in his 80s. That's how much time has transpired. From the time he was a teenager to the time he was 80 years old, Daniel stood firm. What a testimony. And now at 80, he's still standing. Now at 80 years of age, he's still putting his trust in God. He was living in a day and age not unlike when the one we live in, when society and Jewish law and God's law had been set aside. And even in that day, if you stood for God, you might have been termed, crazy, or I think the word today they use for us sometimes is unenlightened. I don't know what that means. I do know what that means. I know what they're trying to say, but anyway. Might even bring out the S word and call us stupid. But I tell you what, Daniel trusted in God, and God protected him. Listen, you put your trust in God, and God will take care of you. Oh, the society or the world tells us to trust in science and trust in self and trust in education and to an age of enlightenment, and that's Buddhism and a lot of things all mixed together in our age today, humanism. But can I tell you, security is not found in might. Security is not found in power. Security is not found in prestige. Security is not found, and I'm all for a good education, and young people ought to go to school and work hard at it. Security is not found in an education. How many people you know today graduating from college and can't find jobs? Security is not found in education. Security is found in the Lord. Security is found in trusting God and putting your faith and trust in Him. Daniel trusted God. Can I tell you today that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever? And God has not changed. He's the same today as He was in Daniel's day. And as He took care of Daniel, He'll take care of you. He'll take care of me. It's God and God alone that can be trusted. Put your faith in Him. Today's an old story. But I learned this when I was in Sunday school and as a kid. It certainly has such great application for our lives today. Again, standing firm. Have faith in God. This is a heart belief. It's believing in your heart, believing and trusting in God. It's more than just knowing that Jesus existed. It's more than knowing that God exists. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not just with your brain, not just with your head, but believing in Him. And here's how we know the difference. When you believe in Him, when you put your trust in Him, that means you're depending upon Him. Listen again. It's one thing, and I know I could use all sorts of illustrations for this. It's one thing to say, I believe this chair will hold me up at a lot of weight that I weigh. It's another thing. The application is, the belief is really only a belief when I stand up in it, right? That's it. So the difference between believing with God in your heart and your head, and I'm sorry, between believing God with your heart or your head, is the application of it. When you really do step out and believe Him. And we're going to show you that here in a little bit. It's the application of it. Stepping out on faith. Trusting God. Trusting Him. Trusting His Word. Depending upon Him. Depending on Him for what? Depending on Him for salvation. Listen, I'm glad my faith and trust is not in my baptism to get me to heaven. I got baptized when I was 6. My faith, my trust is not in being a Baptist to get me to heaven. My faith and my trust is not in my good works. And though I try to live a moral life, I'm not perfect, but I try to live a moral life and be a good father and a good husband and all those things. I don't cuss and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. I mean, I try to live right. But let me tell you this morning, listen, when you get to heaven, there's not going to be a big balance up there and your good works put on one side and your bad works put on one side. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, you get to go to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Believing and trusting in Him, His life, His death, and His resurrection. Listen, it's coming to God, understanding you're a sinner. Listen, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, there's none of us without sin. We're all selfish by nature. You don't have to teach a child how to be selfish. You have to do otherwise. Man, they're pulling toys away from other kids and doing all sorts of stuff, crying, even though they're not really hungry or whatever. We're all selfish by nature. Adults are no better. We're all selfish. And the Bible says because we are selfish by nature, the wages of that sin is death. Revelation describes that death as death, hell, and the grave. In other words, we're not simply being saved from the wrath of God per se. We're being saved from hell. The wrath of God is hell. The wrath of God is the punishment. Hell is the punishment for sin. Plain and simple. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. The Bible teaches both. And I'm glad I'm putting my faith and trust in the Lord and not some ceremony and not some other person and not my works, but putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ lived. I believe He lived a sinless life. I believe He died on a cross, not for sins He had done, but He died for my sins. I believe they put Him in a tomb and there He was there for 3 days. But I believe on that third day He arose again from the dead. We sang some great hymns this morning about it. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose of a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. Someday I'm going to live with Him. I put my faith and trust in Him. I believe on Him. I depend upon Him for salvation. I depend upon Him for provision, that God will supply my needs and my relational needs, my emotional needs. He will supply my physical needs. I believe God will do all these things. I believe He forgives me and that He vindicates me from my enemies. I trust in Him. I believe in Him. Daniel had faith in God. He believed God. And the Bible says God protected him. David's faith was, number one, it was clear. David had a clear faith. In other words, he knew what he believed and why, or else he would not have stood firm. Can I encourage you this morning that as Christians, you ought to understand what you believe, but also why you believe it. I remember years ago, a pastor telling me, "Preacher, just preach and encourage the folks, you know?" Because I had told him, I said, "I think people need to be preached to what they believe and why they believe it." He said, "Just preach and encourage them." I don't think that's all there is to it. We got to not only understand and be encouraged, but yet we got to understand what we believe and why we believe it. Especially the day and age which we live in. Not just because the preacher said so. Don't ever say that. That should never come out of your mouth. "Well, my preacher said," well, then take the Bible and show them. What does the Bible say? Be clear in your understanding of the Scripture. Judaism in that day of Daniel had become muddied and mixed up and mixed with superstition and idol worship. And we see the same thing going on today in Christianity. Get a clear understanding of knowledge of who God is. Get a clear understanding of your beliefs and what the Bible says. I believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. I believe that the Bible makes it very clear. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for proof. That holy men of God wrote as they were moved, what? By the Holy Spirit. This is a God-breathed book. Every word and every line are true from beginning to end. I believe that Christ was virgin-born. Without compromise, I believe the Bible teaches that Christ was virgin-born. Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that Jesus Christ came again and lived a sinless life and died for me. And I believe He rose again bodily in order that I might have eternal life. I believe someday He's coming again because the Bible teaches it. And I stand firm on these fundamentals. Will not compromise. Know what you believe and know why you believe them. Daniel believed not only because of what direct revelation from God, but what he experienced too. He experienced God's hand in his life. J.C. Lowe Baxter said this. He says, "We should know it," talking about the Bible, "we should know the Bible in our head, we should stow it in our hearts, we should show it in our lives, and sow it in the world." Read your Bible. Live the Bible. Teach the Bible. The Bible. Have a clear understanding as a Christian if you are to stand firm. Number two, Daniel had loyalty. He had a loyalty. He was loyal to God. Listen, true faith is unpopular. True Christianity, notice what I said now. True Christianity is unpopular. Oh, you can be one of those Christians who just, you know, lackadaisical in your Christianity and live and do however you want to and live however you want to and talk however you want to and have no qualms about it. And you won't be unpopular. But if you are living and following in the steps of Jesus, you will be unpopular to a lot of people, to the world out there. Jesus said, "If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. In this world you shall have tribulation." Listen, If you live right, and I've used my brother as an illustration 1,000 times, but it's still a great illustration. My brother in high school lived right, did right, had a good Christian testimony, and they called him Dippy Dan the Holy Man. They made fun of his Christianity because he didn't go to the high school parties. He didn't go out with those girls who were not pure and not living right. He didn't. He was careful of his testimony.
Amen.
And by the way, he wore that Dippy Dan the Holy Man with a badge of honor, as he should have. If we live right and do right, we'll be unpopular. Many today are disloyal to the standard. Many today are disloyal to the Lord. Let us be loyal as Daniel was loyal. Israel had been disloyal to God, and therefore God had sent them into captivity. And Judah had been carried into captivity for being disloyal and worshiping other gods. So God sent them into captivity and chaos. I would remind you that America is in the same boat. America has become disloyal to God. America has turned their back on God for the most part. And therefore, as Israel faced trouble because of their disloyalty, so America faces trouble because of their disloyalty. And I don't think we should bend or bow on that either. We live in a day in which no one seems to stand. And I know we like to wear the badge of Southerners with honor. Oh, us people in the South, it'll never get this. Oh, it has.
Yeah.
It's shown up right across the street over here. Listen, we've got to stand. Be loyal. Be loyal to the Bible. Be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Sunday morning, but live it during the week.
Amen.
Christianity is not a Sunday to Sunday process. It's a daily process. Take up that cross daily and follow me. Be loyal to the Lord and stand during the week and live for the Lord during the week. We need to stand up for Jesus. Love that old song. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, we must stand up for Him. No, we stand up, but we also stand on His promises that He'll take care of us. Stand firm in the faith. Be a disciple of the Lord. We're not talking about a bunch of do's and don'ts or this or that. And I could certainly give you some do's and don'ts that we ought to follow. But we ought to follow in His steps. What would Jesus do? And by the way, a lot of people are messed up on that. They got a different view of Jesus than the Bible gives. And let's follow the Jesus of the Bible. Let's follow the God of the Bible. Let's follow in His steps and be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be clear in our understanding of the Bible. Get a clear understanding of who God is and who the Lord is. And then be loyal to Him. Trust Him. Put your confidence in Him. And number three, Daniel was resolute. He was fixed in what he believed. And he was fixed in his obedience to the Word of God. And despite the king's decree, he stood firm. The den of lions was real. This is not a fairy tale we're speaking of today. This is a true story. The den of lions was real, and yet Daniel went to pray there in the window, placed himself there in the window, facing Jerusalem as he had did aforetime. No compromise. He was resolute and fixed in what he believed and his practice of what he believed. Daniel was not deterred. He was not hindered. But he believed in God. He believed death was better than compromise. So, preacher, you saying as Christians that death might be, maybe in our lifetime. I hope not. But I can tell you there's some Christians in the Middle East giving their life for the Lord. There's those in Egypt giving their life for the Lord. There are those in Saudi Arabia and Syria and all those giving their lives to the Lord, being beheaded and gruesome things happening to them today. That's today. That's not 1,000 years ago. That's today. Let's remember the Christians over there and pray for them. Remember the Christians in China. Just here recently, China went through again and cracked down and went through much of the provinces in China and took down all the crosses. Even in the established churches, took down all the crosses. Just came and ripped them all down. Any symbolism of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we may say that we're under some duress here in America, but nothing like what we see around the world. Let us continue to be resolute and fixed and not compromise. Don't compromise. There's a Baptist church in Georgia recently, the First Baptist Church, a big town in Georgia, who recently compromised. A Baptist church, a big one. So it's not just the Presbyterians, not just the Methodists. By the way, there's some of them that are still standing firm. Praise God. But there's Baptists too who've given in to the culture, giving in to the political correctness, giving in to immorality. Let us stand firm.
Amen.
Let us not compromise. Dr. Niemöller was in prison during World War II. He wasn't in prison because he was a Jew. He was in prison as a doctor because he defended the Jew. And because he was outspoken in what Hitler was doing. This is in Germany. He was a doctor in Germany. One day the prison chaplain came by to talk with him and asked him, said, "You're not a Jew. Why are you in prison?" And Dr. Niemöller looked at him and answered and said, "Why are you not in prison? Why are you not in prison? You're a chaplain. You're a man of the cloth. Why aren't you in prison? Why aren't you here with me?" The chaplain had compromised.
Amen.
He had compromised. Listen, Christians, let's never compromise. Be resolute and fixed. Daniel was threatened with death and yet did not compromise. Boy, I would challenge you, if you ever get a chance, read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and just witness and read of the stories of Christians throughout the centuries who have died for the cause of Christ. Lastly, Daniel was certain. It says there in verse 23 that he believed God. I'm going to read it again. He says, "So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." He believed God. He had put his trust in God for his life. He was not merely a professor of God, but he was a possessor. He not only was he vigilant about what he believed and clear about what he believed and being fixed and resolute and loyal, but he practiced it. We can scream and holler all we want to, "I'm a Christian," but it's the practicing of it that'll get you in trouble. It's the application that'll get you in trouble, young people. It's the application that'll bring ridicule sometimes. And I'm thankful we do live in the South. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful we live in the South where there's still a very predominant culture of Christianity and conservatism. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
But I promise you, these young people, if you go to school on Tuesday or Monday, whenever you start, and you live a Christian life this semester, at some point someone's going to get and make fun of you. Somebody will. Because you won't dress a certain way. Because you won't cuss. I remember in high school lifting weights and being a part of that football culture. And the guys knew I didn't cuss. And so one day in the gym, one day in the locker room, I was lifting some heavy weight. And I liked to yell back then anyway when I could lift heavy. And I would yell and somebody said, "Crawford said a cuss word." And I promise you it didn't take like 20 minutes and the coaches heard about it. Of course, they knew I didn't do it, but it was funny how quickly.
Yeah.
You live right and try to do right, and I wasn't perfect in high school, but you try to do right, there are
Amen.
Consequences to that. It's the application. Daniel was certain and believed and trusted God. He wasn't just merely a professor of it, not just merely with his mouth, but he practiced it, and because he practiced it, it put him in the crosshairs of the world. By the way, his life proved that he was a possessor, not merely a professor. Can we say, "Jesus is my Savior"? I love that song too. "Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved." We call that the Baptist theme song. But it is a good biblical principle that we should not move. We should be firmly planted, ground down deep in the Savior's love. Listen, we understand and know that God has a plan for our life, don't we, as Christians? God has a plan, and God had a plan for Daniel's life, and there's no doubt in my mind as you read the life of Daniel that he understood that. And as he kneeled to pray that day, three times that day, there was not a doubt in his mind that God was going to take care of him. I believe that. And that God would have his way. Maybe he would die in the den of lions. It didn't matter to him, but he knew God had a reason for everything. Jesus is in control. No matter the circumstances, God is in control. You put your trust in him, he will take care of you. Daniel had faith in God. No manner of hurt came to him. Why? Because he believed God. No manner of hurt. Listen, and I'm done. I'm almost done. No manner of hurt came to him because he what? No manner of hurt came to him because he what? Believed in God. Let's say it together. No manner of hurt came to him because he what? Believed in God. He put his trust in God. Young people, put your trust in God. Amen. Adults, as you go to work this week, put your trust in God. Depend upon him. Put your faith and trust in him. God cared for Daniel. God cared for him. God did for Daniel. By the way, God did a miracle for Daniel. Sometimes because of the television preachers out there, I have a hard time sometimes vocalizing this, but God will do a miracle for you. God will do a miracle for you. The same God Daniel serves, the same God I serve. And if there's a challenge in your life today, whatever that challenge may be, whatever test or whatever storm or whatever problem, God can do a miracle for you. And he will. You put your faith and trust in him. What was the miracle God performed for Daniel? Lockjaw. I honestly, I've heard other preachers preach it, that he pulled up a lion on this side and slept over. I don't believe those lions at all harmed him in any way. I don't think they even looked at him funny. God did a miracle for Daniel. He kept them. Listen to this. God did not save him from the lion's den, but saved him in it. Sometimes God does not save us from, but he saves us in and brings us through the den of lions. Remember, just because you're in the storm does not mean you're out of God's will. God sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee. They were in the will of God. But God will see you through that trial. God will see you through that circumstance. Just keep your faith in him. And then lastly, what was the consequences of his what was the consequences of his belief in God? Verse 25. Look back there. Daniel 6, verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every domain of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Darius proposed in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Whoa. What a testimony. God used Daniel's circumstances as a means of spreading his message in the entire kingdom. God used Daniel to show the kingdom the Jehovah God, the self-existent one, and who he is. And listen, it may be that God uses you, and I hope he does, uses us to be a light to those around us. I want to remind you, too, that Daniel started well, and he finished well. 80 years old, still standing. Still standing. Young people, start well. Young adults, continue. Middle-aged adults, me, continue. Older adults, continue. Start well, end well. Amen. Let's all stand.